we love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday night's main event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
Vince McMahon does his first live interview in over a decade, and not much happens. Tony Khan has bought Ring of Honor, but that doesn't mean that ROH is all elite. A former celebrity WWE wrestler is now behind bars. And speaking of celebrities, we have the highest number of them ever wrestling at WrestleMania this year. There's been about 100 updates as to where Cody Rhodes is going to end up. Has it all been a ruse? And on the day of AEW's Revolution pay-per-view, we have a special aftercast happening at snmeradio.com, plus a major guest announcement for next week and more. Hello, I'm Mike McGuire. This is Canada's Wrestling Radio Show, Sunday night's main event, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. You're listening to the show on TSN Radio, the News Talk and iHeartRadio Talk Networks, a number of syndicated stations across the country, or online at snmeradio.com. If you go to that website, we have exclusive bonus shows, extended interviews, and more daily content being added through our Patreon feed, which you can get for about a buck a week at patreon.com/snmeradio. We still don't know exactly what's happening as far as Vince McMahon wrestling at this year's WrestleMania, but we do know there's some other great stories that we can dive into with the Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer. He is standing by after we look at some of the biggest news in wrestling this week. It's the Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
Vince McMahon did his first live interview in years and almost nothing happened. After boasting about incidents that have happened in the past and rumors of an angle starting during the actual show itself, Vince McMahon showed up on the Pat McAfee show, yes, the same Pat McAfee that works for him on SmackDown, and politely asked McAfee if he wanted to wrestle at WrestleMania.
I'd like to offer you an opportunity to actually wrestle at WrestleMania.
Oh, that'd be a dream, boss.
In the ring.
There was no violence, no theatrics, no interruptions, and the interview was actually quite enjoyable. Vince did announce he would be inducting The Undertaker into the Hall of Fame this year. The following day on SmackDown, Austin Theory came out and told McAfee that he would be Pat's opponent at WrestleMania. All right. Ring of Honor is under new ownership, but is not all elite. Tony Khan's big announcement happened this past Wednesday on Dynamite, and it was actually pretty decent. Tony announced that in addition to the video library, he had purchased all the assets to Ring of Honor. ROH co-founder Gabe Sapolsky and former owner Kerry Silkin both announced they were happy that the legacy of ROH will continue. And in an interesting note, all media releases stressed that this was a purchase made by Tony Khan and didn't mention any merger with AEW. He was only in WWE for a hiccup, but Cain Velasquez is now behind bars. You've probably heard about this story. Velasquez is being held under attempted murder charges after allegedly shooting a man who was charged with sexual interference of a minor, which happens to be a young relative of Kane's. Obviously, there hasn't been much chatter about this from WWE, as he's no longer under contract to them, but Ronda Rousey, who is headed to WrestleMania in a main event, is among many on Twitter who said that she would have done the same thing, maybe something worse. If you don't remember, Velasquez, a former UFC champion, had a quick stint in WWE, including losing to Brock Lesnar in Saudi Arabia. Josh Alexander is staying with Impact, one of those names that people have been watching to see what he would do next. Josh Alexander has reportedly signed a multi-year deal with Impact Wrestling. Now, his name has been tossed around the free market pool. In fact, if you remember, Josh Alexander was one of the names that was last mentioned by Brandi Rhodes in a final promo on AEW. Now that he is staying with Impact, he's back in a world title program with Moose, who retained last night at Impact's Sacrifice pay-per-view. And the King's Court is back in session for one night at least. Jerry Lawler is returning to Monday Night Raw tomorrow night. For some reason, WWE is really hyping up Lawler being a part of Raw. Now, Jerry hasn't been seen on Raw in almost 2 years, although he has been on pre-shows, post-shows, Raw talks, things like that. WWE made a point to talk about the fact that he grew up in Cleveland for a short period of time, was a huge fan of all the sports teams, and also mentioned that Cleveland's actual own, The Miz and Logan Paul, would be there. I hope they're not planning on beating up Jerry. That just, we can't anymore, can we? It's the day of AEW's Revolution pay-per-view. We will be going live after the show at snmeradio.com. But next, the legendary Dave Meltzer right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
When I'm on me boat, battling the waves, trying to gather me fish, it takes two important factors. A keen eye and a peeled ear. Me pappy told me, when you least expect it. And don't let a little choppy water get in your way. So when I pops the top of my Lake Effect IPA, I don't fret when the crest of a wave slaps me hard and I spill a little bit down me chin. I think of it as a favor, cause it's not too often out here that I gets to wash me beard. Go with the Lake Effect. It'll guide you right every time.
Lake Effect IPA, now available at an LCBO near you, the GLB retail store, and GreatLakesBeer.com.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
It was the big story. It was all we could talk about last week. You had it down like there's going to be an angle, there's going to be all this stuff, and maybe there was. I don't doubt for a second there was, but maybe when word got out the way it was. What happened with the whole giant angle coming out of Vince and Pat McAfee, and it basically becomes, Pat, I'd like to invite you to wrestle a match at WrestleMania. And it's a very polite, like, oh, by the way, here you go. Here's a spot.
I mean, there's more to come in this.
Okay.
And Vince is still supposed to be involved. You know, I mean, on Monday's Raw, they pretty much set up an angle where, you know, Austin Theory was going to go in there and jump Pat and nothing happened.
Yeah, that's Austin what I mean.
Austin Theory wasn't even there. And it was just like then they went on SmackDown and made the announcement. And Austin Theory was always involved in the Vince thing. I mean, yeah. It was always going to be Austin Theory taking the bumps for Vince, but it was going to be Vince against Pat. And it might still be a handicap match with Pat against Vince and Austin. But Vince is going to be, the money is still in Vince. It's going to be like Vince getting involved with McAfee, and the angle is still supposed to come unless, you know, Vince changes his own mind. From Raw, it seemed like the angle was going to be the Pat McAfee show, and it didn't happen that way at all.
Well, they just didn't interview. And he even said, like, you know, oh, he's going to hit you. He's going to hit you.
And then it was all set up. And then they just did nothing. Hey, look, they said they were going to do all this stuff at the Garden last night. And I mean, they did do an angle where Roman Reigns bloodied up Brock Lesnar. And, you know, blood in WWE is rare. But it's like Brock Lesnar's big mystery opponent ended up being Austin Theory, which is just like, oh, my God. I mean, and that was the original idea. I mean, that's not something like Cody fell through. And so they had to throw out Austin Theory. Austin Theory was the original idea. It's just that when they tell you it's someone worthy of a world title match in Madison Square Garden, Austin Theory is not the name I thought of, but it was the name they thought of. So there you go.
Well, he was the last man to be eliminated in the Elimination Chamber after, you know, Brock put him through the floor. But I guess that
Brock went like 90 seconds with him.
Yeah. Well, hey,
last night.
That might as well be a marathon match for Brock these days, but
yeah,
call it an Iron Man. Okay, so now we have that part figured out, I guess, with when it comes to McAfee, McMahon, Austin Theory. I want to go back to that interview for a second. You've known Vince, you've known WWE, you've known him as a personality off and on through the years. I really did enjoy that interview because that seemed to be a Vince McMahon who wasn't really on defense. He wasn't giving a lot of the usual kind of code answers and ignoring the fact that an AEW exists and things like that. Like, it wasn't the...
It was, I mean, I don't know much about the interview as far as everything, but I was told ahead of time that, I don't want to say scripted, but cleared, you know, ahead of time, which is why he did it with Pat. But I was told, like, I think it was 2 days before, that AEW will be brought up in the interview. Yeah. So Vince knew about it ahead of time and it was agreed upon and he wanted it, you know, because if he didn't want it, it wasn't going to be there.
Right.
So he wanted to say something. He didn't really say any. You know, the funny part is that he said, you know, that I love competition. It makes me stronger and everything. And that is kind of against their usual thing of saying, oh, they're not competition to us. Our competition is the NBA or the NFL.
That's what
That was a really interesting, you know, the fact that he willingly said that they were competition and he didn't, you know, bring up the blood card, which I guess he knew because of the Garden, it would look really foolish to bring up the blood card.
Obviously, there is some cahoots because your employee is interviewing you, even if it's on his own show. I mean, Pat does have a bias in that. So that's fair. But I thought overall it was definitely not the typical, you know, when Vince would pretend he didn't know what companies' names were and things like that in interviews, you know, like he had no idea what could possibly else be out there. So from there, we go to you, sneaky, sneaky Dave Meltzer. You gave us a little drop of it last weekend when you were telling us about the ROH tape library. And something tells me you may have known a little more than you told us.
I didn't know more. No,
wow.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well,
I knew nothing until that announcement was made. I thought it was going to be an HBO Max deal. And
okay.
That still may happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, as far as buying the ROH tape library, it makes sense. I thought doing ROH as a separate promotion didn't. But I will say this, if Cody Rhodes is coming back to run ROH and they do a feud with Cody Rhodes and Tony Khan, yeah, that makes perfect sense, you know, for short term. I mean, as far as long term, does it? Who knows? I mean, there's never been an instance where something like this has worked long term before the big company shuts down the little company. But they can't. There is a way to make money short term from this. And if they do, you know, do something where there's an ROH versus AEW feud. And I mean, the key is you got to get ROH really strong to do it. Yeah. Yeah. That could work. That's a good idea.
Yeah. This can't be a WCW invasion thing where they bring in like just, oh, you did work there, so I guess you're part of the rivalry now, you know?
No. You know, I mean, I don't know that they throw Punk and those guys over there, you know, who came from there. But I mean, if they have Punk Danielson, but you know, I don't see that because I sense with Danielson that Danielson and Moxley are, you know, doing something after this. It's not this match is the beginning of the story. It's not the end of the story. So I think that I don't sense that. I mean, he'd have to tear up so many plans to do that part. But you know, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, they're definitely very quiet about what's going on with the Ring of Honor thing. Past they got the tape library, and that does give them more to sell, you know, I mean, as far as to sell to a streaming service, which obviously is the goal.
And in my mind, it gives AEW a heritage now, a heritage that it didn't have before, because now they have, even though it's not their brand specifically, it is the origin story for a lot of their top stars today. At the same time, WWE could argue the same thing. You got guys like Rollins over there and many more who also went through ROH.
WWE wanted it. You know, it was like,
I was going to ask, were they in the conversation or
absolutely,
not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, they wanted it. And Tony wanted it more. I mean, that's your answer. WWE tried to buy Ring of Honor in 2018. I mean, I remember that. I mean, it got so far as to somebody had like, you know, they were having people in accounting trying to put this whole deal. That's how strong it was, even though everybody in wrestling was denying. Oh, we're only looking to license a few tapes. So, no, they were looking to buy the thing. But whatever, you know, they didn't agree to a price, and Sinclair probably wasn't that adamant about selling. Whereas now, you know, Sinclair wanted out very clearly. They just wanted out. I don't know if they were going to keep the program. I mean, I still don't know if they're going to keep the programming, but they did not want to own this thing anymore. And so, you know, who are you going to sell it to? If it's Vince or Tony, and they sold it to Tony.
It's almost on a lesser scale what happened to WCW, right? I mean, it was basically owned by the same ownership as the network, and then they lose the TV rights, and so it's worth a lot less, but it's still content. And either way,
Vince made a great deal for $2.5 million to get that tape library. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was when, you know, I mean, I consider the $2.5 million WCW purchase to be on par with the $24 Manhattan purchase by from the Native Americans back in wherever, in the 1700s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it is, but it is content. And like I said, I think it gives AEW some heritage now that it doesn't have by being such a new company. It can say that, you know, we didn't do this, but this is what we took from. This is part of the fabric, I guess, of what AEW is becoming. Either way, it's very interesting to see what's going to happen next now, for sure, with ROH still existing. I guess somehow we have to wait and see what happens.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that they're going to exist in some form. Mm-hmm. And maybe Tony doesn't even know the whole form, but I think he's, you know, he's not going to shut it down at first. Because I think that if he was, the announcement would have been that I got the tape library, not that I've got the company, because now he has to at least give it a shot, you know, and give it whatever it is, 6 months or whatever. And it's not like, even though it is it's been a money losing brand constantly since the start, it's not like the losses are, you know, going to kill his pocketbook, if you know what I'm saying. He's building a company, he's building everything, and, you know, we'll see. But he made the deal. Yeah.
Okay. You dropped the name earlier. Cody Rhodes, I know you've been on top of this like crazy with creative plans allegedly going in and out of WrestleMania all weekend, the whole week, I guess. He's been either in creative notes or out of creative notes. Still, it seems like the only person that knows what Cody Rhodes is going to do is Cody Rhodes. Is there any indication from anywhere of what might be coming next for Cody?
No, I don't think so. I don't. I'm trying to think. I mean, I have a friend who was in contact with him today, yesterday or whatever. I haven't been in contact with him in a couple of days, you know, maybe more than a week. But because what do I say? You know, it's like, what do you say? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to tell me anything. And you really don't, you know, he'll be nice to me, of course.
Yeah.
But it's not like, but it's like, we can talk about kids and stuff, but we can't talk about wrestling. So, but anyway, the whole deal is that WWE thought they had it. WWE had creative laid out for him. And then Wednesday, I think was, or Thursday was when the story first broke. And obviously it was a correct story by Cassidy Haynes that things had slowed down. I talked to people in WWE Friday morning. It's still the same. It's still the same. Then Friday night, it's like, yep, it's changed. We don't know what's going on, but the gut is that they were expecting him to sign the contract this week. I don't know that, but certainly, I mean, creative was all laid out for him, how he's going to debut, what he's going to do and everything like that. And now it's, we don't know. Is he working us? Is he just driving a harder bargain, knowing that the closer we get to WrestleMania, probably, I mean, this is what I was basically told with Cody and Austin, the closer you get to WrestleMania, the more leverage they've got because they want to sell those tickets. They want to make that announcement of these guys as soon as possible, whatever. Maybe he's doing that. Maybe he's driving a hard bargain, or maybe he used WWE to do his own storyline. I don't know.
It's so interesting because the stuff that even ends up online now with him pulling out the old Stardust suit and hoping.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously he's not going back to Stardust. That would be, no. Vince would have to be out of his mind to do that.
Still has that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the funny thing is that like, there's so many people who wanted him to go and get buried. And it's like, the one thing I know is he ain't going there to get buried, because if he was going to get buried, he was going to stay where he was at. You know,
himself on fire some more.
And it's like, and the thing is like, if Vince is, let's just say Vince offered him so much more than Tony, let's just say that happened. All right.
Right.
Vince isn't going to spend $5 million or $4 million a year on a guy and then bury him. That's just not how Vince works. But still, you know, when you go to WWE, you're not going to have any creative control. You're not going to be able to do your own interviews. I mean, you're going to have he'll have input to it, but he's not going to have full control. He's an AEW, and I mean, he's going to do his own interviews, and he's a good talker, you know, at times a great, great talker at times. And he's going to lay out his own matches. He wants to be set on fire. That can happen in WWE. He wants to take a suplex off of a ladder. That's not going to happen in WWE.
To be set on fire, Mike.
Yeah. So, you know, there you go.
Okay, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, giving us all the inside goods as we, of course, are going to be celebrating AEW Revolution with a live post show afterwards on the SNME podcast network, YouTube, Facebook, and all that. We can't help but look ahead to WrestleMania. And Dave, we've had great celebrity interaction at WrestleMania in the past. We've had big names appear as valets, as performers, as far as like musical performers go. We've had some great one-off celebrity wrestling matches. We now have 1, 2, 3. And if you count Steve Austin, because I think you can honestly, in my opinion anyways, you can count Steve Austin as the one guy right now who still transcends wrestling at this point. The guy has become a cultural icon. He's on Tide commercials, for goodness sake, selling laundry detergent. Like,
you know, it's so funny is I was listening to the radio the other day, and I don't even remember the commercial, but I heard him doing a commercial, and it's like, right? You know, as Steve Austin. And it's like, wow. Yeah. He's doing stuff.
He's transcended Stone Cold even. So you could argue that you have basically 4 celebrity wrestling appearances happening now.
Yes.
None of them are The Rock. Okay, I know that.
Well, that'll be next year, hopefully. I mean, yeah, exactly. You can't guarantee it, but that's the plan.
But you have Logan Paul, Johnny Knoxville, Pat McAfee is going to be interesting, as we've already discussed.
He can wrestle.
Yeah, he can. I remember the Adam Cole match very good. Well.
Very good match, yeah.
And Steve Austin. So we have 4 celebrities actively wrestling on a 2-day card, though. Is this the new norm moving forward for WrestleMania? Is this going to be something where it used to almost be a love letter to the wrestling fan was WrestleMania? You always got the best matches. You always got the best this. But now we're getting a lot of celebrity stuff this time around in ring.
Well, they got a lot of tickets to sell in 2 days. So, I mean, they're like if you watch this whole thing, you know, like Vince and Steve Austin, I mean, it's all hands on deck. You know, I mean, they can't have Undertaker wrestle because that would be going against their word. But, you know, I mean, and I guess John Cena is busy because I was told, like, he may show up there if he has the time to show up there. But I don't think he's doing it. He's in the middle of a movie thing. You can't really do a match because what if you get hurt doing the match?
Yeah. And Peacemaker just got renewed and there's a ton of money on him staying safe. So that makes sense.
Right, right. And Dwayne the same way. That's why he's not going to be wrestling a match. But, you know, I expect more surprises come the day of the show. I don't know what they are, though.
All right. Well, there you go. We do have a few weeks to get there, of course. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com. You had a busy week, man. And I know it's really going to be a lot of talk about Revolution and what comes after that. This ROH thing now as well. So I know you'll be doing your best to keep up to date. We always appreciate you taking the time to spend here with Sunday Night's Main Event. So thank you, sir, as always. I guess last question here. Undertaker is still the only Hall of Fame guy going in right now? At this point,
obviously they're going to start naming names this week. They have to.
They'd have to.
We only have a couple weeks left, so yeah.
Or is he the only guy? Because there's been a lot of people saying that you don't need anything other than Undertaker for a Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But they're going to do a 90-minute show, and 90 minutes of Undertaker's overkill. I mean, they're gonna have their class. They have to have, you know, they have their check boxes of who they have to have. You know, you have to have the woman, and you have to have this and that. So we'll have guys, and there's no shortage. I don't know, but I haven't heard any other names. It's interesting. Usually you would hear about 8 names by this point.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So either way, Dave, thank you as always, my friend. We'll catch you next week. And try and keep on top of everything. We appreciate it. But dear Lord, you got a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be next couple weeks going to be pretty intense.
We have a lot more to come right here on the AEW Revolution Eve edition of Sunday Night's Main Event.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
Hey, everybody. It's Randy.
I'm Eric.
And I am Matt.
And together, we are the Dark Side of the Elite.
Every Saturday night on the SNME Patreon, which can be found at patreon.com/SNME Radio, we will be reviewing this week's AEW Rampage on our show, Rampage Rollout.
We go in-depth with match-by-match analysis and promo coverage.
Become a patron today for as little as $1 a week.
So every Saturday, come and join us.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is you?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you wanna go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
It is AEW Revolution Day Eve, whenever you're listening to this, and it's also the road to WrestleMania. Of course, don't forget, at snmeradio.com, through our YouTube, through our Facebook, you can find the live AEW Revolution Aftercast. It's a big after party hosted by Dan the Mouth Lavransky, Joe Aguinaldo, and us chuckleheads might be showing up too. Mike McGuire here with Matt Ederer and Boris Aguilar. You hear them on our first NXT Talk podcast, the BAM podcast, all over the wrestling and sports worlds, and here now to talk about this week. Crazy news again, just coming out of the week. We will start first with the big news story, fellas, that didn't turn out to be that big of a story after all, and that was the Vince McMahon-Pat McAfee rivalry starting on his show that didn't start on his show. Do you guys remember the rumors that were swirling around with this? And what we end up getting is a very polite Vince McMahon inviting Pat McAfee to just, you know, if he wants, come wrestle a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, very surprising to me, Mike. I expected them to work like a Bob Costas thing. Like, do you remember Vince and Bob Costas back in the day?
Oh, yeah, basically calling him a, can't say it.
Exactly. And that's what I was expecting. But it was just like Vince was very lucid. It was actually an awesome interview to listen to. If you haven't heard it, go back and check it out. But yeah, not what I was expecting at all. I'm quite surprised. I guess, maybe we've got some bad intel on that one, or maybe they just realized that it was a terrible idea to have 76-year-old Vince McMahon wrestle.
Boris, I don't know. When you first heard what was supposed to be happening versus what happened, are you happier now, or are you still curious, or do you not care at all?
To be honest, I really don't care too much. Even if Vince is scheduled in the match, he's not going to be wrestling, right? Like, there's no way a 77-year-old man is going to be in the ring, right? Like, there's no way. It's got to be theory. So
there's
for me,
no way?
I don't think there is.
Excuse me. It can't be done. It can't be done.
Fujiwara and Fujinami were just in a match at the 50th anniversary New Japan show, but it was, they were not the focal point, and it was very much nostalgia. They were very much old men rolling around out there, you know what I mean?
Combined age of 6,000. So, I, Boris, not to totally rain on your theory here, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Vince did something in this match.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not going to be part of it. He's not going to be the focal point. He's not going to be the one who's like in there for 10, 15 minutes, right?
No.
So it really didn't change kind of what I thought was going to happen. And I kind of like this direction a lot more because having the interview and then having an angle all at the same time would have really just kind of ruined things. So I kind of like the direction where they kept the interview as legit as possible.
It was a really good interview too. If you haven't checked it out yet, highly recommend checking it out because it's Pat McAfee, it's Vince McMahon, and they're talking like guys. Like, you know, you're forgetting who's the boss here at some point. And I really enjoyed it. This to me was the Vince McMahon of old before everything got crazy. I think it was a case where this is Vince just talking about his life and his business and his love to wrestle. What I also found interesting was McAfee bringing up the fact that he showed Gronk how to stage dive, where it was showing him basically, this is how you do it. And he just, Vince McMahon at would have been 74 then or 73, stage diving off the platform into crash mat. And that's it. So
yeah, that's the thing. Like, him. He's going to do as much as he is like able to do, you know, like physically able to do, he'll probably do it. So I'm sure he's going to do something, but like Boris said, he's not going to have a 10-minute classic in the middle of the ring.
Speaking of 10-minute classics, 60-minute classics, wrestle all night, fight forever. Ring of Honor is now owned by Tony Khan, but is not All Elite. So for those that are mainstream followers, those that are just hearing of AEW now and might not know the history of Ring of Honor, I mean, you two both are very versed in it. I'm pretty familiar, especially from the later years. Not so much the most recent years, but I mean, when they really started to peak is when I got involved and when I really got into ROH. And then they kind of suffered the same wave that Impact has had and a lot of companies have had, where they've gone up and down over the years. Boris, we'll start with you. What does All Elite Wrestling, or better yet, what does Tony Khan stand to benefit from owning two companies now? Because this is not an AEW property. It's a Tony Khan property.
Ultimately, it comes down to the tape library and content. You know, the tape library is probably the most valuable asset from this acquisition at the end of the day, right? He gets the history of a lot of his wrestlers like CM Punk, Bryan Danielson. That's what it comes down to. It's the content. And if the future is a streaming service, this is just, you know, another notch on that belt for them.
Yeah, I would back that up. Not only the content, but specifically the All In show, that first All In show from 2018, I believe it was, was a Ring of Honor property, right? Mm-hmm. So now they officially can show that. Probably have to edit a couple of things, Joey Ryan, cough, cough. But other than that, I think it's going to be very, very valuable for AEW.
I don't think they can edit it out, though. People know. People, you know, that's something fair. That WWE has been accused of, is trying to erase their own history and ignoring their own, you know, foibles. And AEW has always promised to be honest. Tony Khan has always promised to be honest. So carrying that nature, then ROH under Tony Khan ownership should also be recognizing its own history. So I guess we'll see what happens. But either way, interesting. AEW basically gets an origin story now from that acquisition. Whether Tony decides to merge the two or not, we'll see what happens. Are you interested in having an ROH show separate of AEW? Like, do we need more wrestling in the landscape?
For me, it comes down to WWE has NXT as its developmental property. I believe that AEW will end up having ROH as its developmental property. So, you know, I think with the huge roster that people love to say that AEW has, you know, now it's a great chance to kind of start moving people around, have the more up and coming stars in ROH, have some crossover, obviously. But, you know, this just kind of gives more time and availability for wrestlers to appear somewhere.
And wouldn't it be hilarious if they got a TV deal and put it on Tuesdays next to NXT? And it's the developmental war, the Tuesday night war, Mike.
More of this. Good. Yep. You know what? Honestly, that would be the thing. ROH should debut with black and gold as their new image scheme.
That would be hilarious.
Why not? Let's talk about WrestleMania, because we are on the countdown. The road to WrestleMania, if you would. Is this, or is this not, the most celebrity-loaded WrestleMania ever? And I say this not because of the fact that I know there have been other stars. There's been more numbers-wise, but match-wise, we have got Pat McAfee, who, although works for WWE as an announcer, is going in as a wrestler and as the host of arguably one of, if not the most popular streaming sports shows in the world right now. Okay, Johnny Knoxville, Jackass Forever, showing up in a match against Sami Zayn. And they're taking this all seriously. This is the part that blows my mind. Add to that the fact that now we have Logan Paul in a match, which, again, online celebrity, millions of dollars, sure. I know a lot of people still won't know who this guy is, but he's a name. He's a name for sure. And I'll even throw this name in as a celebrity, even though he is who he is, because it still hasn't been confirmed yet. But Stone Cold Steve Austin coming back, to me, transcends even WWE at this point, because it's Stone Cold Steve Austin coming in. So that's three, arguably four, big outside names coming in for WrestleMania. How do you feel about this? Does this make WrestleMania more exciting, more interesting? Does this change the landscape of WrestleMania forever? Matt, we'll start with you this time.
Does it change the landscape of WrestleMania forever? That's interesting. Is the new norm 4-5 celebrity matches on these 2-day events, right? That's a really interesting question. It might be so. I don't think it hurts. I don't think it necessarily helps for me. I'm like, I don't know. It's like a morbid intrigue. I don't think, like, particularly Logan Paul is going to do a great job. You know, I don't think Johnny Knoxville is going to have a classic, but I am intrigued to see how it goes. I wouldn't pay $60 for the show, but I have the WWE Network in Canada and I will enjoy it for $9.99 or $12.99 or whatever it is.
$14.99. Keeps going up. Like, Boris, how do you feel? Celebrities at WrestleMania, not just ring announcing or commentating or special guest hosting, but actually getting in the ring. We got four of them now, we'll say.
It is what it is. Honestly, there's the, you know, they're going to be there. It's going to happen. It's WrestleMania. WrestleMania built, you know, its brand off of celebrities. Having them wrestling and just this sheer amount, that is, you know, kind of takes me back a little bit. But like Matt said earlier, you have to fill two nights of content. And, you know, WWE and especially WrestleMania is all about headlines, tweets, and social media clicks. So having a celebrity is going to get that attention, especially for a two-night show. It makes sense. But personally, I'm indifferent about it.
Even though it's way too far away from the card to do a full prediction show, let's do a quick prediction run here. Just win or lose. Let's go Johnny Knoxville first, Matt.
Lose.
Okay, Boris?
Yeah, I agree with Matt. Lose.
I think he has to lose. That's jackass. He has to.
Exactly.
Destroyed, yeah. Right? Logan Paul with Miz. Win or lose, Matt?
That'll be a W. I think they'll get the heel victory with some shenanigans.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say they're going to get the L. I think the father-son combo are going to end up winning that one. That, again, that headline.
You don't think that with his newly developing mustache and mullet that Dominic is going to reveal himself to be Eddie's son after all?
A long game.
And then what happens with McAfee and Austin Theory?
I think Austin Theory needs a big W. He's been put in some high profile spots. He just wrestled Brock Lesnar at Madison Square Garden, but he got destroyed. You know what I mean? So yeah. Austin Theory needs a big W. So I think a big win over, though it's Pat McAfee, it's a celebrity in a high profile match. I think it could do some wonders for Austin Theory. So I hope he gets that W somehow.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to have to disagree there. I'm going to have to say that McAfee's going to get the W. I think that for whatever reason, they book Austin Theory as this loser. Pat McAfee will get the win. And, you know, the Austin Theory, Vince McMahon angle is going to continue.
Austin Theory could be the Baron Corbin of this current moment, where Corbin never needed to win a rivalry and still had monstrous heat. But at the same time, we're still at the Rocky Maivia stage of Austin Theory. And I think that this guy is going to break out to be something huge over time. And so, win or lose, I think he's going to be fine either way. Okay, let's talk about a young guy who is definitely on the apex of being lauded as top guy in the industry. MJF gets the edge over CM Punk on Dynamite, bloodies him up, but then Punk comes back with the nastiest promo ever that was off air. We'll play a clip of it for you right now.
Few people are going to understand that being in this much pain makes certain people feel so very alive. I think you understand, Max, and if you don't, on March 6th, you will. You are going to find out exactly what you think you already know, that CM Punk is the master, and I know exactly who the f- I am. You want to call me PG Punk? You want to pretend like I'm not that same guy? You want that same guy that you grew up idolizing? Congratulations, Maxwell, Jacob, Friedman, but you're not ready. And on March 6th, I'm going to walk you like a dog. I'm going to beat you and beat you, and I'm going to beat you until your own mother won't recognize you. I'm going to leave parts of you in that ring, and I'm going to leave parts of you all over Orlando, Florida. This is what you want. More importantly, this is what you deserve. On March 6th, I will become a monster to fight the monsters of the world. Because I'm CM Punk. And I'm better than you.
This CM Punk that is back. This CM Punk that is better than you. Has this win or lose made MJF?
It's a little too early to say, I think, but I tell you this, it's the feud of the year for sure. And the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks of this feud have been like Hall of Fame, like first ballot, just incredible storytelling, just layered deep storytelling. And yeah, I don't know if we can say officially MJF is made. He's a superstar. He's an A-list wrestler yet. But he's on the way, and this feud is definitely doing him a big favor.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Matt. You know, we're in March, and we're already calling this the feud of the year. I will be shocked if anything is better than this feud. And MJF just right now has that rocket strapped to him, and he's going to the moon. Like, it's crazy how good this kid is. It's crazy to see how young he is and just how, you know, he just gets it. There's the intangibles about wrestling that a lot of wrestlers just sometimes don't understand. And MJF gets those things.
I'm telling you guys, MJF could be the it factor if it's not for Dominic Guerrero. With a pay-per-view as stacked as what Revolution is, with a lot of storylines seemingly blowing off here, is Revolution now AEW's WrestleMania, or is it still All Out or Double or Nothing? Like, which show is becoming the signature show for AEW for you guys?
For me, it's still Double or Nothing. I think that that's kind of been earmarked as the big show. We saw big debuts. That was arguably their biggest show last year. But, you know, AEW is still in the business of promoting only four pay-per-views a year. And they do a great job of just building up to those four shows, you know, and having the big storylines kind of fade away after that and have the big blow off at that match. So it's got a very old school mentality there, right? So, you know, I think that every pay-per-view is just special.
Yeah, I have a little trouble distinguishing between the AEW pay-per-views. Like, they don't really, to me, have distinct themes, especially not as distinct as, like, this is Hell in a Cell, this is Elimination Chamber, and I'm not asking for that. I do not want that. That is terrible. But yeah, I just see an AEW pay-per-view and I know it's going to be a good show. You know, I still have yet to really decipher between the brands of each four of them.
I wouldn't mind them using the Blood and Guts / War Games cage as a standard event, but I it would need to have a reason, you know, like when WCW did War Games back in the day and NWA did War Games, like that was something you knew. It's like, okay, this is their version of Survivor Series essentially in reverse, but I get this vibe that AEW needs to do just that, Matt. They need to give some definition to each pay-per-view. There needs to be one outstanding feature or theme. Like WrestleMania was always the granddaddy of them all. And then it's, you know, the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time, you know. But one of them needs to be the crown jewel, no pun intended, pay-per-view, though. It needs to be the one that outshines the rest, so I guess we'll have to wait and see what it is. It could be Revolution tonight because it's going to be a great show. And don't forget, snmeradio.com. You can also find on our YouTube, our social media channels. We'll be going live right after the show. So maybe you're listening right now on one of our syndicated networks and the show's just wrapping up. Flip over to the website. You can join us for live conversation. If you're a Patreon member, you can actually get involved in the conversation as well. Boris and Matt, sticking around. We got a big announcement about who's going to be joining us next week on the show right here on Sunday night's main event.
I'm in the arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Let my heart sing an old river song.
I live in Saskatchewan. I hunt things in Saskatchewan. I kill things in Saskatchewan. I eat things in Saskatchewan.
And roll on, Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
It's been a fun week. AEW Revolution wrapping up tonight. The live aftercast after party is happening at snmeradio.com. If you want to be a part of it, you can still sign up now, patreon.com/snmeradio, or you can watch for free on YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you like. It's all about talking about wrestling, loving in on wrestling, and gentlemen, that's what we've been doing. Matt Ederer and Boris Aguilar joining me from NXT Talk, as well as the BAM podcast, which you can find on the SNME Radio Network. And fellas, for people that don't know what you guys do on the BAM podcast specifically, because it's kind of an everything show, but it's kind of not, you guys actually dove deep into the ROH AEW acquisition over the week here. You talked about what possibilities could be coming from that. But what else do you guys got planned for us, or maybe what are some highlights that people can look forward to on the BAM podcast?
So we try to talk sports and entertainment and sports entertainment. We just try to be like the grab bag. So in the wrestling section, we try to talk about the things that other people don't necessarily catch all the time, or that we feel are like heating up and deserve a little more attention. So like, Impact has been getting pretty good over the past couple of months. We've been watching more Impact. When New Japan Cup or the G1 starts, we'll watch a little more New Japan, you know, and we'll kind of just keep you up to date on what's happening. And we do the same with sports. So like the NBA, I think we're going to do an NBA catch up next week. We might even have Joe Aguinaldo on to talk a little hoop.
If only there was some wrestling promotion that maybe most of North America and the mainstream world aren't familiar with that Boris was adamantly passionate about, though.
Stardom from Japan, an all-female wrestling promotion. They have been around for a very long time, but over the past few years, they have just been putting on five-star classics week in, week out. And it's just such a fun promotion. One starter match was actually our top match of 2021. And so far, you know, there have been some classics in 2022.
You get to know these guys more and more. I tell you, you're going to love them. The BAM podcast every week at the SNME Radio Network. But fellas, we got a special guest coming on next week. I can't believe this is happening. Happy to announce the next week right here on SNME Radio, Matt Cardona, the $1,000 Broski. We'll be right here on Sunday night's main event.
That is exciting, man. That's a great get. I can't wait to check out that interview. The Long Island Iced MC himself.
I don't know what to call him.
Oh, man. But yeah, no, NWA World's Champion, the belt held by Lou Thesz and Orville Brown, Mike. And now,
wow, Matt way Cardona. To dig Orville Brown.
Oh, yeah,
out.
Oh, nice. Yeah, baby. Bringing the heat for Cardona.
The first time Orville Brown has been brought up, I think, since Orville Brown was champion. And even then, wow, that's amazing.
And now Matt Cardona.
Oh my god, I'm gonna ask him about that. Like, yeah, how does it feel to hold the same title that Orville Brown once held? And for those that aren't quite familiar with the name right now, Zack Ryder, formerly from WWE, was released a while back, came out, kind of brought the WWE attitude to indie wrestling, and became the biggest heel and one of the most popular figures in wrestling since that time. So he will be here on the show next week. We'll be talking about that and a lot more. Matt, Boris, always a pleasure having you guys on.
No, thank you very much, Mike.
Until next time, as always, thank you for listening. Letting us do what we do. Play safe, drive safe. Ah, haven't seen you.